This is Frankly MSP, where managed service providers get real.
Hey, and welcome to episode 48 of Frankly MSP, the podcast for managed service providers who want to boost their productivity, efficiency, and profitability. I'm your host, Jennifer Tribe. Well, the speaker lineup for Frankly MSP Live 2020 continues to grow. We've now announced all three of our keynote speakers. The first is Mike Michalowicz. Some of you may recall me mentioning him on the podcast before. Mike is a former MSP, now full-time business speaker and author with a handful of best-selling titles you just might recognize. There's The Pumpkin Plan, The Toilet Paper Entrepreneur, the one he'll talk about at Frankly MSP Live, Profit First. I'm very excited to tell you that Mike will also be on this podcast a couple of episodes from now, so keep your ears open for that. Next on the list of keynote speakers for Frankly MSP Live is Nigel Moore. Nigel, of course, was my guest on episode 8 of this podcast, talking about SOPs, standard operating procedures. He also guest hosted the What's Going On segment in one or two episodes. We've done some webinars together, collaborated on some other content. Anything we do with Nigel has been extremely popular, so I know he's going to kill it at our event. Nigel will be closing the show with a talk on mastering the MSP mindset. And yes, he is coming all the way from his native Australia to deliver the keynote for us, so you won't want to miss this chance to see him live. Last but not least, for keynote speakers, we have Tiffany Bova. Tiffany is the growth and innovation evangelist at Salesforce and the Wall Street Journal bestselling author of Growth IQ. Growth IQ talks about the 10 paths to business growth. Tiffany's boiled it down to just 10, and she talks about how to figure out which combination and sequence of those paths will work for growing your business. Mike and Tiffany are both doing book signings at Frankly MSP Live. Nigel's going to be hanging out for the whole 2+ day event. And with attendance capped at just 150 MSPs, that means a tremendous opportunity for you to connect with these three amazing speakers. So grab your tickets before they sell out. Go to franklymsplive.com. Get those. Make sure you also book your hotel at the Ritz-Carlton Bacara Santa Barbara to make sure you nab our special room rates before they're all gone. So that URL again is franklymsplive.com to grab your tickets for Frankly MSP Live 2020. All right, well, now all this talk of keynote speakers ties in nicely to my guest for today, actually. My guest is Chris Record, and as it happens, I learned about Tiffany Bova from Chris when he recommended her book on LinkedIn and said how much he enjoyed hearing her speak. So thanks for that, Chris. Chris is the CEO of T-Tech Limited, the only pure-play MSP on the island of Jamaica. Now, if all you think of when I say the word Jamaica is palm trees and beaches, you're about to learn some hot new facts. Jamaica's economy is booming right now. Its unemployment rate is at a record low, and that's in large part thanks to a thriving tech sector. I talked to Chris about what's happening in tech on the island, a few of the successes and challenges his MSP is experiencing, and what opportunities might exist for you in Jamaica.
You're listening to Frankly MSP, brought to you by Avic Networks.
Before we jump into this interview with Chris, let me give you a little background. Chris graduated from the University of Technology in Jamaica in the 1980s. He was a high school teacher for a short while teaching electronics, but then he heard about an opportunity at a programming company that was adding a service department, so he made the jump to technician. He soon realized, however, that the real money in the industry was in sales, so he shifted his focus there. A friend of his had moved to the United States a few years earlier and had decided to start his own tech company. He invited Chris to join him in the US, and they worked primarily with big consulting companies on managing ERP systems. In the early 2000s, Chris moved back to Jamaica with a wealth of tech experience under his belt and an itch to start his own tech company. And that's where we join the conversation.
I actually came back to Jamaica and started value-added reseller systems integrator business. That went on for about 9-10 years, where we were IBM's biggest business partner in the Caribbean. We were Lenovo's biggest business partner, McAfee, a fair amount of the tip of Microsoft. We did a lot of work with that, with those products.
And what was the technology market like in the Caribbean at that time? Like, was it really growing? What was happening?
It was growing tremendously. I mean, almost exponentially, because at the time, lots and lots of people are realizing that implementing technology at that pace was helping lots of other businesses, especially because we're not too far from North America. So all the news, all the magazines, all the media, you get all information. So folks kind of wanted to, what's Walmart doing? So this small distribution company here would want to figure out, how do I put in these warehouse management systems? So it was, yeah, it was almost copycat. So I jokingly tell people that Jamaica is usually a cycle or two behind the U.S. So whatever is happening in the large organizations in the U.S., these guys wanted to hear. So yeah, it's been growing ever since.
Yeah. And so then in 2006, I know that's when T-Tech, that's the MSP that you're leading now, started up. And tell us about how you got involved in that.
So interestingly, when I was living and working in the U.S., the founder and owner of T-Tech was also in the U.S. And he was also a customer of ours. At the time, he was CIO for a large Caribbean conglomerate. And that organization was a customer of mine. And so when I moved back to Jamaica, I started my other business. He moved back to Jamaica shortly after and started his interpretation of an IT outsourcing business. When I exited my VAR, he called me up and said, hey, you know, we were working in the U.S. before. Would you mind coming and helping with this business? Because he, in his words were, he's kind of growing it as far as he could grow it. And I said, sure, I'd love to help, because my understanding of IT outsourcing business, especially the term MSP, which is not a term that's used very widely in Jamaica, we're just looked at as an IT support company. Something that I thought was the way of the future, graduating from just being a basic reseller, moving to a systems integrator. MSP was the next step for IT support. So I was invited to join the business, and I did.
So it was interesting that you say that Jamaica is one or two cycles behind the U.S. I would say that even in the U.S. in the late 2000s, this drive towards managed services and that monthly recurring revenue was nowhere near as big as it is now. So I would consider that quite visionary of you and your partner to be looking at establishing what is essentially a managed services firm in Jamaica in the late 2000s. So can you tell me a little bit about what the market was like in those days? Was it hard to find clients and explain your value proposition?
It was hard to find clients and explain value proposition. It's still hard to explain the value proposition, because most of these folks understand break fix. They understand just, hey, something is wrong. Can you come and fix it? So we still are working on tweaking the message, continue to find different ways to explain exactly why you should sign a multi-year contract with me to outsource your IT management needs to me. So it was difficult then, and it continues to be difficult now. Less so because the whole cybersecurity worry and threat has caused folks to kind of start taking notice and start requiring more help. So there is progress.
What sort of technical challenges do you face in Jamaica that may be different from the mainland? Does being on an island affect things like the internet or what you have access to?
Some of the internet challenges exist. Why? Because whilst we do have two or three ISPs on the island, maybe even more, they actually all get the, let's call it the wholesale or the aggregated bandwidth from the same central provider for the Caribbean. So sometimes that's an issue, but it's usually only an issue around times of hurricane and natural disasters like that. For the most part, that part works well. Where the challenge is, our exchange rate, although the economy is improving, economic conditions have forced a lot of people to be buying consumer-grade equipment put in their businesses. And so what we find is going into these organizations, trying to do proactive MSP-type remote support is difficult, because a lot of the consumer-grade equipment, they're not manageable remotely. We have to convince them, cajole them. It's part of the due diligence when we're going in to onboard a customer. It's kind of saying, hey guys, you have to change this stuff. This stuff can't work. It's not supportable remotely. So that's one of the big challenges that we have technically. Other than that, the regular challenges are the same. Folks resistant to move into the cloud for production. They may move, there's lots and lots of stuff on the cloud for personal. They do some tests, but to move whole scale for their own production, it's sometimes challenging.
Yeah, so you say it's been a challenge, and yet here you are, 2019, 43 staff doing very well. So what do you attribute your success to?
Our founder, he's now the executive chairman of the company. His brand promise has been delivering an insanely good customer experience. And so the heavy focus on customer and customer satisfaction has created a differentiator, which has contributed to excellent word of mouth. So what happens is that our first main cornerstone customer is, as I said, is a large conglomerate in the region. Now, when executives leave the organization and they go into other companies, usually almost within a month, we get a phone call saying, hey, I want the experience that you guys delivered to me there, here. Can you come and do that for us? And so the first few years of the business, that's exactly how it grew. A lot of word of mouth.
And what do your typical clients look like?
First and foremost, our focus is for services-based business. We try to look for businesses that have multiple locations. And we're looking for anywhere between 20 to 150 users. Because typically an organization of that size, they don't have their own IT department. They may have an IT guy, but typically they don't have an IT department. So that's our sweet spot. Do we have customers larger than that? Yes. Do we have a few smaller than that? A few. But that's typically what they look like. They're across industries. We do prefer aiming for service industries, but they are across industries. There are financial services, there's distribution, there's some little bit of manufacturing, but it's all over the board. Jamaica is a small country. I mean, we only have just under 3 million people.
Given that the market is fairly small, under 3 million population, like you said, do you worry about market saturation or what's the plan when you sort of have Jamaica sewed up?
So the beauty is 1 in 2 of our customers, they have branches, acquisitions outside of Jamaica. So we are actually supplying services to customers outside of Jamaica already. We do have a team member actually residing in South Florida. We are in talks and several discussions and looking at some partnerships within in Atlanta. One of our customers, they have a large operation in the UK and in Canada. We've sent folks there. So the plan is expansion outside of Jamaica. We have team members who have traveled to various states to do work for the departments and the branches for our customers. So the short version is expansion outside of Jamaica, definitely. We have done a little bit of work around it, and there's lots more to do.
Now, this might be a good segue into a discussion about Jamaica sort of rising as an offshore tech hub. I know many U.S. companies are looking to Jamaica now. Your economy is booming. Your primary language is English. You're within U.S. time zones. You have a technically educated population. It's a short plane ride from Miami, as you said. What are you seeing in terms of interest from American companies to offshore some of their IT support to Jamaica?
I'm a member of an organization called the BPIAJ, which is the Business Process Industry Association of Jamaica, which is the organization focused mainly on folks doing outsourcing work. They call it the BPO industry, the business process outsourcing sector. And that sector is growing at a ridiculously fast pace. Since March 2017, the sector has doubled, moving from 17,500 to up to 36,000. That's over 105% growth across 65 companies on the island. So lots and lots of people are getting into the business process outsourcing sector. Whilst a fair amount of that is BPO, there are, in fact, knowledge process outsourcing opportunities that have started. My company, we actually provide services for a few of these knowledge process outsourcing organizations. I mean, one such customer I have, KPMG, they're literally almost next door to me, downtown Kingston here. And they have specialized in providing accounting support for other KPMG organizations worldwide. The sector is growing and the sector continues to grow. I mean, you know, government is targeting over 100,000 persons working in the industry by 2022. So we are seeing tremendous growth in that area.
I have heard that there is a lot of immigration from Cuba, a lot of Latin American countries, and that Jamaica is actually considering making Spanish a second official language. What are your thoughts on that? And are you supplying services in Spanish at this point or just English?
So we actually just hired our first native Spanish speaker. It's someone from Latin America who married a Jamaican and she moved here. We do have more need for Spanish-speaking support because one of our customers, they have plants in New Jersey and in South Florida. And interestingly enough, it is a fair amount of Spanish-speaking users. And so, yes, it's something that we're seeing.
Now, I know in the U.S., finding good technical talent is a challenge. Are you finding the same in Jamaica?
Exactly the same challenge. I spent 90 minutes in a meeting this morning discussing that very matter, talking about training, talking about cross-training, rejigging our org structure, bringing in more contractors. So right now, Jamaica is experiencing its lowest ever unemployment at around 8%. Finding talent is hard right now.
So are you looking to bring people into the country? Are you focusing on people that you've got in the country right now?
The main focus is on folks in the country. What we're started to do is some partnerships with the various education institutions where we're targeting a different, how would I say, a different grade, different level. Instead of trying to go after the high degree, you know, we're saying, look, guys, let's talk to some of these technical institutions. Could we bring somebody into our organization at a different level? We take over some of the training, train them up. There's a wider access to more talent. It may take a little longer time, but at least there's a bigger pool. So we're experimenting with different ways to bring talent into the company, right? We're also taking a peep at some countries out there that things might not be so good. So you see what's going on in the news in Venezuela. Jamaica has been a friend of Venezuela for a number of years. There's lots of partnerships here. And so I've asked folks at the Venezuelan embassy, hey, you know, do you have networking expertise, security expertise that would be willing to move to Jamaica? So those discussions have started.
How would you describe the technology community in Jamaica? Like, what's the vibe these days?
Oh, the vibe is exciting because we're talking about a broad sector that includes developers, includes folks who are actually residing here in Jamaica, doing work for Silicon Valley companies, companies out of Canada. There's pitch fests happening. We have innovation centers. A lot of the large corporate organizations, they have made investments in innovation centers, and they bring in various people from these development communities to pitch ideas and to just have them as centers that just doing not skunk works projects, but stretching the ideas and thinking of what the organization would typically do. So there's a lot of excitement, which is why you can hardly find talent because lots of folks are entrepreneurial and they want to do something on their own. And so, yeah, it's an exciting time.
Now, you're the only pure play MSP in Jamaica. So where do you turn for peer support and conversation and swapping best practices?
Apart from online community, we attend as many events as we can. We use various tools such as Continuum, ConnectWise, Orvic, and we try our very best to attend these conferences that all these folks have. We also have partnerships with other vendors, you know, Cisco and the like, so we try to attend these conferences. So I send my team on as many of these international conferences, and I encourage them to meet folks. And a lot of these folks also come here to the presentation. So Jamaica is a growing market in the LATAM region. So there's lots and lots of main distributors out of South Florida coming into Jamaica to talk to us about buying their products. And they, again, within that, there's also community. Within Jamaica, we are members of various associations, the Jamaica Computing Society, Jamaica Information Technology Services Alliance, which are local organizations that are membership organizations that tech geeks come together or business folks come together to talk about tech.
And you recently launched a conference, TechCon. I think it was this year. Can you tell us about that?
Yeah, TechCon. Interestingly, this year was our second year of doing it. This year was bigger. Having attended a number of these conferences, we said, look, guys, how can we get all our customers in the room at the same time where we share with them best practices, ideas, demonstrate what other folks are doing, bringing other customers in the room to talk to validate what we're doing. So yeah, we just decided let's start our own conference. The feedback has been fantastic. You know, we've gotten a lot of suggestions as to what we should add to the agenda for the next year. So it's a three-quarter day event that starts at, you know, 9, and we usually have about 5 or 6 presentations from some of our vendor partners, and as I said, you know, panel with sitting customers talking about their issues with cybersecurity. We're bringing folks from the government. We're bringing folks from even the police talking about cybercrime and how it's handled. So yeah, it's proven to be very successful so far.
Amazing. Is there anything else that we haven't talked about yet that you would like to share with our MSP audience?
Well, you asked a question earlier about expansion. I've attended a number of these events, as I mentioned. And I keep kind of saying, hey, and is anyone that would like to partner with somebody like me in Jamaica? The cost of our engineering resources are about 50 to 60% of what they're in the US. So I'm able to do projects and I'm able to do whether it's, you know, Microsoft Active Directory, whether it's, you know, penetration testing, whether it's any type of remote monitoring and management using some of the same tools. I could do it here remotely for customers and potential business partners in North America. And so that's what we've been talking about. And so I'm out there kind of looking to see, Are there potential acquisitions, potential mergers, partnerships with other MSPs in North America? It's something that I'm actively looking at. I've spoken to a few people, and you know, we continue to chip away at that.
So if someone was interested in having a conversation with you, how should they reach out?
Easiest thing would be just direct email, chris.record@ttech.com.jm. I think you could put it in the show notes. That would be the easiest thing. My email, send us a message and say, hey, we're interested in talking.
Excellent. Thank you so much for joining us today.
Jennifer, thank you very much. It was excellent. It was great talking to you, and thanks for reaching out.
That was Chris Record, CEO of T-Tech Limited, based in Kingston, Jamaica. As Chris mentioned, he's interested in hearing from any of you who might want to discuss partnerships in the region. So I will, of course, put Chris's contact info in the show notes. His email address, again, if you missed it, is Chris Record, and that's Record with a K, R-E-C-K-O-R-D, chris.record@ttech.com.jm. I'll also put links in the show notes to some recent articles about Jamaica's economy and its tech sector, as well as links to all the organizations and events that Chris mentioned. You can find those show notes at ovic.com/franklymsp/048. And while you're there visiting the show notes, leave a comment. Let me know what you thought of this episode, or hop on over to the Frankly MSP community on LinkedIn and leave your comment there. Looking forward to hearing what you have to say. That's a wrap. Till next time, this is Jennifer Tribe. Thanks for listening.
Frankly MSP, brought to you by Ovic Networks, the most efficient and profitable way to manage your clients' networks.